I'd like to say good morning to everyone, and also to welcome all of our visitors that we have on this morning. And we are so thankful that the Lord has blessed us today to come out and worship Him in spirit and in truth. In 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verses number 16 and 17, the Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, or to every good work. And we see in this passage of scripture that this scripture says and affirms that God is the author of this wonderful book that we call the Word of God. All of the scripture, the Bible says, are inspired of God. That phrase, inspired of God, means that it is God breathed. That means that these words that you and I find in this book, they come directly from God and not from man. And this morning, it is my desire to present to you a message from the Word of God that will encourage you to obtain that salvation which is in Christ Jesus. In John chapter number 3, in verses number 16 and 17, we find that the Word of God says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God does not want you and I to be condemned. He wants us to be saved. Because the Bible teaches us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 that God is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And when you and I read about the message of God in His Word, we read of a subject that's called salvation. And salvation is a wonderful subject, and you should get excited when you know that God has delivered you from the bondage or the slavery of sin. It's a wonderful thing, and we need to be so enthusiastic that God loved us enough to send His very best, His Son, as a sacrificial lamb for each and every one of our sins. In the book of Colossians, chapter number 1, and beginning at verse number 12, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, the Bible says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Isn't that wonderful? God has translated us from that kingdom of darkness where there's no life. There's eternal separation from God. But He's translated us from that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear and precious son. And that is a wonderful blessing. And every single soul that is on the face of the earth should be excited about salvation. Everyone should want to be saved from their sins. Because most of us, when we are in a particular situation, when we are in trouble, when we are in a pickle, so to speak, we want to get out of that situation, don't we? We want to get out of a bad situation. We want a savior. We want someone to help us to get out of trouble. And that's why God sent his wonderful son, Jesus Christ. But interestingly enough, when you and I converse with people concerning their salvation, almost everybody wants to be saved. It doesn't matter who you talk to. They want to be saved. When we talk to people on the streets, they want to go to heaven. That's their desire. We want to go to heaven. But only a few. Only a few are willing to strive to comply to the requirements that God gives to be saved. In Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 46, Jesus says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Also in Matthew chapter number 15, in verses 8 and 9, as Jesus is referring to the scribes and Pharisees, he says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." And we find on the surface that many people want to be saved, but many people are also far away from the heart of God. And this is oftentimes the problem with people and salvation. And this morning, we want to preach a sermon that is entitled, "Lord, Are There Few That Be Saved?" Lord, are there few that be saved? And in the scripture reading that Brother Perkins read for us, we learned that there are two different ways, two different gates in which you and I can enter into. One gate, if we choose to enter into it, will lead to eternal life with God. The other gate will lead to our eternal destruction. And the choice is yours. And in these passages of scriptures, Jesus lets us know that only a few people will enter into that straight gate that will lead to eternal life. Only a few people, but there will be multitudes of people that will enter into that wide gate that no one should go in. Because the Bible says in Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 13, Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And this morning, our lesson text for our consideration will be taken from Luke chapter number 13. Luke chapter number 13. I invite you to turn to your Bibles and follow along with me, for this is where we're taking our lesson text from. Lord, are there few that be saved? In Luke chapter number 13 and verse number 23, and we'll be going to verse number 28, the Bible says, "Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up, and have shut the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity." In verse number 28, Jesus says, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out." Isn't that something? Those that have a desire to be saved oftentimes find themselves on the outside looking in. They find themselves being lost. They find themselves in a place that they really don't want to be. In Luke chapter number 13, and verse number 23 of our lesson text, Jesus admonishes them to strive to enter into that strait gate. Now, the word strait means to be constrained. The word strait means to be constricted or restricted. The word straight can also mean narrow. For example, those of you that are familiar with geography, a strait is oftentimes described as a narrow passageway between two bodies of water. For example, the Strait of Gibraltar, which connects the Atlantic Ocean to the Mediterranean Sea. There's a little passageway to get through there between those two bodies of water, between Spain and North Africa. And we must understand and know that the strait gate will be difficult. The strait gate to enter in will not be easy to pass through. Well, why is it so difficult? Well, it's because it's narrow. Why is it oftentimes so hard to enter into that gate? Well, the reason is because going through that straight gate requires you to be faithful to God. It requires you to be obedient to God. It requires you to submit your all unto God. And many people don't have a desire to do that. And as a result, many people do not really have a desire to go to heaven and to be with God. Even though mentally they might say that, But they are not willing to do the things that are necessary to enter into the kingdom of God. In John chapter number 14 and verse number 15, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And earlier, we read in Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46, where Jesus says, why call ye me Lord and Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? The straight gate is a narrow passage that you and I must enter into to be saved. Also, we find that it is a great deception of our adversary, the devil, to believe that entering into the kingdom of God, entering into that straight gate, takes little forethought or little effort. Because our adversary, the devil, is always looking for a way to destroy a precious soul. And we need to realize that so many people today are deceived about salvation. They think it's just an easy thing to acquire. Jesus did it all on the cross. All I have to do is believe and claim my salvation. So many people have that way of thinking about salvation. But Jesus wants us to know that this is not the case. Because in our lesson text, that question was asked to Jesus in verse number 23. Lord, are there few that be saved? That was a question that was asked. Will there just be a small group of people that will be saved? And how does Jesus reply to this question? He replies by saying to strive. And that word strive comes from the root word agonize. To strive means to agonize. It's not an easy thing. Strive to enter into that straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Will not be able. In Acts chapter number 14. In Acts chapter number 14 and verse number 22. We learn that it will take continued faithfulness and going through much tribulation to enter into the kingdom of God. And some people say, tribulation? Sufferings? Trials? That would turn off a lot of people, don't you think? But what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say in Acts chapter 14 and verse number 22? The Bible says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Does that match what so many people think about salvation? That it's just an easy thing to obtain? Oftentimes, that's not the view of what some people consider about salvation. We have to enter into that straight gate. We must enter into that narrow way. We must agonize our souls to enter into the kingdom of God, because it requires faithfulness on our part. You know, it's not just good enough just to have a good start. It's just not good enough to go through the plan of salvation, hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, and just stop right there. If you do that, you're going to be lost. Any of the Olympians will tell you to be able to win a medal, a gold, a silver, or a bronze, you just can't stop. Usain Bolt will tell you that when he starts, does he stop? No, he doesn't. He flies, doesn't he? Because he continues in the race. That's what we have to do too. We have to continue. Same thing with all the other Olympians that were successful. They didn't stop. Many of them had trials and tribulations. Many of them wanted to give up. Gabby Douglas, sister had to convince her to continue on, continue on, continue on. And what happened? She continued on. What did she do? Won a gold medal. What do we have to do as Christians? What do we have to do to enter into the kingdom of God? We have to continue on. We have to be faithful. We have to go through forbearing. We have to be long suffering. We have to go through much tribulation to enter into the kingdom of God. We must continue unto the end. In the book of John, in chapter number 8, in verses 31 and 32, we find that Jesus says, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Don't you want to be free this morning? Then you need to continue in his word and to be faithful. Also in Matthew chapter number 10 and verse number 22, we understand, as we just mentioned, that we must be able to endure unto the end. In Matthew chapter number 10 and verse 22, Jesus says, "And ye shall be hated of all men," talking to his apostles here, "and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." Just can't have it. A good start. A good start is good, but we have to continue. We have to endure unto the end. Because entering the straight gate will require men and women to be faithful unto death. It takes that. It takes work. It takes hard work to enter into the great kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, are there few that be saved? As we talked about in Matthew chapter number 7 and verses 13 and 14, there are two ways you can follow. You can follow the narrow way, or you can follow the broad way that leads to destruction. But have you ever wondered, why do so many people choose to be disobedient to God? Why do so many people that desire to have salvation will not have it? Has that ever perplexed your soul? Knowing that so many people, so many of your family members, so many of your friends, so many of your co-workers are not willing to comply to the word of God to be saved? That's perplexing. But it's the truth. It's the truth of God's precious word. Again, in our lesson text, in Luke chapter number 13, the Bible teaches us in Luke chapter number 13 and verse number 23, rather in verse number 24, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. So many people will try to seek to enter in. But Jesus says many will seek to enter in and not be able. Many will seek to enter in and not be able because they have chosen to enter in at the wide gate of disobedience. So many people will not enter in because of disobedience to the Almighty God. In Matthew chapter number 7, in verses number 21 through 23, so many people desire to go to heaven. So many people want to walk those streets of gold. So many people want to enter into those mansions that we read that Jesus is preparing for us. So many people want to be in that place where there's no crying, where there's no pain, where there's no trouble, where there's no sin. But how many of us are willing to give of ourselves to get to that wonderful place? In Matthew chapter number 7 and verse number 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Not everybody that claims to be a Christian, that claims to be religious, that claims religious allegiance to a particular denomination will enter into the kingdom of God. But Jesus says, "But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." And in verse number 22, sounds like our lesson text also. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works." And in verse 23, Jesus says, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you." How is it that they didn't know Jesus? Well, it's because they didn't obey him. They didn't have a proper relationship with Christ. They did not obey him. That's why he didn't know him. And what did Jesus say? "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." How many people will hear those words in that wonderful day when Jesus Christ comes back again? How many people will hear those words, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity," that thought they just had a ticket into heaven? So many people, so many souls will be in that predicament. Multitudes in this group will take the path of least resistance. They'll take the path of least resistance. They'll do the easiest thing. They'll do the way they want to do certain things concerning their salvation. And if you don't do it God's way, it's just not going to work for you. It's not going to work for you at all. In Luke chapter number 13, again in our text, in Luke chapter number 13, and going to verse number 25, Luke chapter number 13 and verse number 25, the Bible says, When once the master of the house is risen up and have shut the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Doesn't that sound familiar? We just read about that. They're going to be knocking on the door when Jesus comes back again. They're going to be knocking and says, Lord, open the door so we can get into heaven. But what is Jesus going to say? I don't know you. Who are you? You didn't obey me. You didn't submit your life unto me. You didn't consider what I have done for you on the cross. You just did what you wanted to do. And Jesus says in verse number 26, then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. They're trying to build some type of association with Jesus. Yeah, you may have been around Jesus when he was preaching the gospel, but did you obey him? Yes, you may have been around some religious folk in your day. Yes, you may have attended a gospel meeting and have heard the gospel of Christ, and you have learned from God's precious word what you must do to be saved. But did you obey it? Did you obey it? If you have not obeyed Jesus, he doesn't know you. He doesn't have a relationship with you. And when that day comes, if you're in that same state, the door's going to be shut. The Bible says in verse number 27, but he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Can you just imagine how big of a shock that will be to so many people? Not just those that are on the outside, but also members of the Lord's church that are not faithful, that are not enduring unto the end. The Bible says in verse number 28, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. That would be terrible. To know that you could have had a relationship with Jesus, but because of your selfishness, because you were not willing to deny yourself and take up the cross of Jesus and follow him, you are now looking in from the outside. But that doesn't have to happen. That doesn't have to happen to you. That doesn't have to happen to us if we are willing to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. The cost of becoming a Christian or entering in the straight gate is unfortunately too high a price for many people to pay for their salvation. Let me say that again. The cost of becoming a Christian or entering into the straight gate that will lead to eternal life is too high a price for some people to pay for salvation. Because there is a cost, whether we realize it or not. There is a cost. There are some things that we must be willing to forsake if we're going to be disciples of Christ, if we are going to be Christians and servants of God. Because some people just don't want to give up certain things for the kingdom of God. In Mark chapter number 10, we have an example of a ruler of the Jewish people that was seeking eternal life. He was trying to find out some of the things that he needed to do to obtain eternal life. But when Jesus told him something he needed to do, he was not willing to give it up to enter into the kingdom and follow Jesus. In Mark chapter number 10 and verse number 17, the Bible says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" Because people want to have eternal life of God. In verse number 18, the Bible says, "And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Knowest thou the commandments? Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, 'One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me.'" He had the answer he was looking for, right? But what does the next verse say? In verse 22, "And he was sad." He should have been happy. He should have been excited. But God says he was sad. "And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved." He was grieved. Jesus told him what to do to inherit eternal life. There was something in his life that was preventing him from entering into the kingdom of God. "And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." He was materialistic. He was greedy. He put the material things of this world before God. How many people do that today? How many people will lose their soul because they're not willing to deny themselves and to follow Jesus Christ? In Matthew chapter number 16, in verse number 24, Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 24, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, 'If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it.'" That's the key there. If you do not want to lose your life for Christ, which many people don't want to do, you're going to be lost. But if you're willing to lose your life to be saved, then you're going to find life. That's what Jesus says in verse 25. "For whosoever will save his life will lose it." Just like that rich young ruler did. "And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." And verse 26 says, For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There's no exchange. We need to submit ourselves to God that we might be saved. Because for masses of people obeying the gospel of Christ, it's just not an easy task. Just not an easy task. Why? Because it requires one to forsake all things for Jesus. It requires you to put Jesus and his Father number one in your life. If you don't want to put God first in your life, you're not going to be saved. You're not going to be saved. In Luke chapter number 14, we learn about this. In Luke chapter number 14, and beginning at verse number 26, we learn about the cost of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. In verse 26 of Luke chapter number 14, Jesus says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." That means you have to love God more than all of the relationships that you have on this earth. You have to love God more than your father, your mother, your brothers and sisters, your children. You must love God more if you're going to be Jesus' disciple. In verse 27, the Bible says, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Just like that rich young ruler, he didn't want to bear up his cross. He didn't want to give up his possessions. He didn't want to give up serving the world for serving God. And Jesus says, if you do not bear his cross and come after him, you can't be my disciple. You're lost. Because there's a cost to becoming a Christian. Because we have to strive to enter into that straight gate. And dear friends, it's worth the struggle. It's worth the fight. It's worth faithfulness. It's worth enduring unto the end. Because Jesus says in verse 28, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him." They just laugh at him because he didn't count the cost. Verse number 30, Jesus says, "Saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make a war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace." And in verse 33, Jesus says, "So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." It takes all. We have to forsake all for Jesus. Are you willing to forsake all for Jesus? And finally, Lord, are there few that be saved? Can we ignore biblical history concerning this question? Lord, are there few that be saved? When we look in the beginning, in Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 5, where God looked upon the earth, and he saw that man became evil. In Genesis chapter number 6 and verse number 5, we find that the Bible says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." And if we read on, we find out that God decided he was going to destroy man whom he had created. But there was one man that found grace in the Lord's eyes, and that man was Noah. And God told Noah to build an ark, and Noah was obedient to him. He built that ark. And the Bible teaches us that while he was building that ark, he was a preacher of righteousness. He was trying to get everybody else to get into that ark, because that ark was going to be salvation. But how many people went into that ark? In 1 Peter chapter number 3, in 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 20, we find out this question. In 1 Peter chapter number 3 and verse number 20, the Bible says, "Which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water." How many people were estimated to be on the earth at that time? And only eight. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. That's just a few. Only a few were saved. And if we remember reading Genesis, what did God do? He shut the door. Just in the same way we read in the passages. The door was shut. And guess what people start doing? They start knocking. "Let me in." But what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? "I know you not. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity." It's the same lesson throughout the Bible. The same lesson. We look at the Israelites also, that God delivered from slavery, delivered from bondage through the leadership of Moses. Miraculously went through the Red Sea. But afterwards, they were disobedient. They were disobedient. All the people that left Egypt, only two were able to enter into the land of Canaan. Only two. How many millions of people left Egypt? From the original group, and only two people were able to go into Canaan land? Only two. Why was that? Because the Israelites were disobedient. And finally, let us consider Numbers chapter number 26. In Numbers chapter number 26. In Numbers chapter number 26, in the verses 63. Numbers chapter 26 and verse 63, the Bible says, "These are they that were numbered by Moses and Eleazar, the priest, who numbered the children of Israel in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho." Now get this. in verse 64, but among these there was not a man of them whom Moses and Aaron, the priest, numbered when they numbered the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai. Verse 65 says, for the Lord had said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness. And there was not left a man of them save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. That's a lot of people. Only two. The Bible clearly teaches that only a few people will be able to endure unto the end. And we need to make sure we are those people. We need to make sure we are faithful to God. We need to make sure we are obedient to the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if you're not a Christian on this morning, you need to make sure that you become a Christian, because Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, that you might be saved. And God raised him back to life, giving us all the victory in Christ Jesus. Have you heard the word of the message this morning? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to repent of your past sins and to follow Jesus? Are you willing to confess the holy name of Jesus Christ as the Son of God? And are you willing to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, that God might add you to that wonderful body of Jesus Christ where there is salvation? And are you willing to live faithfully unto death, that you might live that crown of life? Maybe you are a Christian and you have erred from the truth. Maybe you've fallen into that wide gate that leadeth unto destruction. Well, if you have, you have an opportunity to make a change. You have an opportunity to enter into that straight gate again that leads to life, where few will find it. But the choice is yours. The choice is yours whether or not you will obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved. But we are begging you to come and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ as we all stand and sing.